Governor-elect Charlie Baker has been making a flurry of appointments over the past couple of weeks as he prepares to take office in January. But while his primary focus right now is on assembling his team, he's also preparing for a host of issues waiting for him in January, as well as the expectations from his new constituents based on promises he made during the campaign. Baker joined us to talk about policy and about his hiring decisions as he's reached across the political aisle to Democrats to find what he says are the best people for the jobs.
I've said many times that people are policy, and to be truly successful in any big organization, you need to put people into jobs where they have relevant experience, relevant subject matter expertise, and the capacity to actually perform. I said over the course of the race that I was going to work on a bipartisan basis and that I was going to build a team that reflected the interests and the perspectives of the Commonwealth, and that's going to continue to be our objective.
You think you'd be doing it this way if Massachusetts wasn't such a blue state with Democrats in charge of the House and Senate?
Well, I've known many of these people for a long time. I mean, one of the advantages of getting elected governor when you're 58 instead of 38 is you have some mileage on you, and part of that means some history and some relationships with people who've spent a fair amount of their career in the public and in the private sector.
Diversity. The administration of outgoing Governor Deval Patrick says it's achieved the highest workforce diversity of any administration in state history. Women comprising 51% of top state managers, minorities comprising about a quarter. You pledge to meet or exceed that?
I hesitate to pledge on hard numbers like that until I know more about the specifics that are involved, but I certainly believe that when people take a look at our administration 4 years from now, they'll see that it reflects the diversity of the Commonwealth.
For commuters, one of Governor Patrick's big highway initiatives is getting rid of the Mass-Pike toll booths and installing high-speed automatic tolls. You going to follow through with that project?
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea, and it's not just a good idea from a convenience point of view. It's also a good idea from an environmental point of view. And it's a good idea from a financial point of view. It's a much less expensive way to collect tolls, which means you have more money available to actually spend on road repair and road maintenance and that type of thing. I also think people sometimes underestimate the value environmentally of getting rid of this idea that people just stop and idle as they sit in line waiting to get to a toll booth.
Well, this makes me want to ask about peak time tolling. It can take an hour or two to come into the city from almost any direction during the morning rush. Would you as governor consider peak time tolling, charging higher rates during the morning rush to encourage people either to come in a different way or a different time?
Yeah, I don't think so. That's certainly one I'd be willing to have a conversation with, but my initial reaction to that would be no.
Immigration in the wake of the executive order from President Obama. Is the order going to make it more difficult to deal with the illegal immigrant issue in Massachusetts with an estimated 185,000 in Massachusetts?
I'd sure like to know a lot more about what the practical application of that particular set of executive orders are. And I've been, frankly, looking around to see if any of the folks that I speak to on a fairly regular basis at the state level and at the municipal level can give me some guidance on that. And so far, most people are waiting for more guidance out of Washington.
What's an if question that relates to this? You've opposed giving in-state college tuition and driver's licenses for these immigrants. But what if you're forced to as governor under the executive order? Will you allow it or will you resist it? Will you fight it?
Well, what I supported on in-state tuition was the governor's current executive order, which makes it possible for people who can work here in the Commonwealth upon graduation from college to access in-state tuition. And my policy on that has been based on the idea that the reason we have taxpayer-subsidized higher education in Massachusetts is so that people can better themselves and go to work here in Massachusetts and help us build a greater Commonwealth. What I don't support is in-state tuition for people who can't go to work in the Commonwealth, because that defeats the whole point of why we were making the taxpayer-subsidized education available in the first place. With respect to the driver's license piece, the big issue for me on this issue has always been the lack of a process that makes it possible for us to determine what, in fact, somebody's status is with respect to issuing a driver's license. Because as we all know, a driver's license is about a lot more than just driving a car.
State Supreme Court Chief Justice Ralph Gantz has called for an end to mandatory minimum sentences for low-level drug offenders, arguing they fail to rehabilitate and fall on minorities disproportionately. Can you support that? Should mandatory minimums for low-level drug offenders be tossed?
I'd like to read the speech. I certainly think we should be doing more with drug courts. in places where you have judges and courts that are interested in pursuing drug courts, they've actually been fairly successful at moving folks into treatment as opposed to into incarceration. And I'd certainly be willing to have a conversation about the other, but I'd like to see more of the details.
Sex assaults of women on public colleges and university campuses, what will you do as governor to try and assure the safety of these students?
You know, I have a daughter. I have two sons. And I think one of the things I would like to have a conversation here in the Commonwealth about is the yes means yes decision that they implemented in the state of California for the California higher ed system. That looked to me like a pretty reasonable way to go, and I think it's one we should consider here in Massachusetts.
Let me ask about Level 3 sex offenders. Local police not too long ago notified the community in Wellesley that a sex offender classified as a Level 3 offender, a person most likely to reoffend, is attending Mass Bay Community College in Wellesley. As governor, would you take steps to prevent Level 3 offenders from attending state colleges and university?
That sounds, let's put it this way, that sounds unusual to me, but I'd like to look into the specifics on that one before I comment on it.
Taking away the specifics in general, should a Level 3 offender be allowed to be a student?
I think that's a questionable issue, especially when we live in a world where there is a lot of online education available, and I think it would be possible for people to do stuff on an online basis.
All right, big picture here. How do you want the House and Senate to be viewing you 100 days into your administration?
I want them to be viewing me as somebody who has principles around fiscal discipline and making state government work better, but somebody who's, you know, an open door type person.
So are you saying then that you don't want all these Democratic lawmakers to be saying, oh, yeah, that's Charlie Baker, the Republican governor?
When I was working for Bill Weld and Paul Cellucci, there were a number of times when the Democratic leadership in the legislature would blame the Republican governor and lieutenant governor for not being willing to do something that they weren't really all that thrilled with either. But it was easier for them to pin the tail on the governor than it was to take the hit themselves. If that happens to be the case in certain situations, I'm all for it.
Charlie Baker, thank you very much for coming into the studio, and good luck.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's good to see you, and hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Governor-elect Republican Charlie Baker joining us here in the studio.